to have with us this afternoon and Nerz Yisrael this evening, Rav David Shlita, who is the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva Torah Shraga in Eretz Yisrael, and also the Rav of a very large community in Eretz Yisrael, and all the more so do we appreciate the time that he's given to us. It's a very busy schedule, and he agreed to take time out of that schedule to speak to the boys here in our base medrash. And those of you who haven't had the privilege of hearing Torah from Rabbi David before, this is a wonderful opportunity. And also, I would personally recommend we, the Talmidim of the Rav, are very appreciative of the fact that Rabbi David put together this beautiful compilation of drashas of Rav Soloveitchik on the parshios, Darosh Darash Yosef. And we don't have a sperm sale this year, but there are plenty of other ways to obtain the sefer, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it very much, as you will this afternoon, Shir. Thank you very much, Rabbi David, for joining us.
Yashin Koach, Rav Shlomo Shlita. I'm very makir tov to you. And since the theme of this presentation will be Hakar Satov, so it's quite apropos. The Pasha that we just read, Shmos, and the ones that we're going to read shortly, Vayir and Bo, all have their origins in the Bris Ben Absorim, or more specifically, in the language of Rashi, in the Eitzah Amukah Shaloisei Tzadik HaKovu B'Chemro. The prophetic and almost a kind of eschatological vision embedded in these wondrous words of the Torah, Ki ger yeh zaracha be'eretz lo lahem, va'abodum be'ino osam rabba me'oshona. Of that juncture were but a faint silhouette, but in the course of time evolved and came to fruition in what seems to be a rather circuitous kind of fashion. Yosef is sent on a parental mission. Lech norei eshlom achecha veshlom atzon vashiveni dovar. And coincidentally, the Torah describes vayimtzayu ish v'inei to'eh basadeh. Vayishaleho ish lemor matavakesh vayomer esachai anochi mevakesh. And randomly and spontaneously, the individual that Yosef met responds, just happened. Ki shamati omrim nelcha dosoina. That catapulted into the saga of Yosef, and ultimately, after many zigzags, ups and downs, becoming the Mishnah of Melech Mitzrayim, the viceroy to the king of Egypt. We're thunderstruck by the grand puppeteer, Ribbono Shel Olam, whose game plan is obscure and mysterious. We finite, limited, Lilliputian man are too preoccupied with our own issues and proclivities, and we're not able to see the trees from the forest. Our vision is parochial, often myopic, limited, but the Ribbono Shel Olam in his eternal panoramic vista is directing the prophetic course of history using his puppets, B'nei Enosh Temusa, his emissaries, we innocent bystanders, to realize all kinds of divine and global ends. In the language of the Medrash, which is majestic in nature, Medrash writes in Bereishis, Ruvain hayasuk b'sako v'taniso, Ruvain was ensconced in sackcloth. Yaakov hayasuk b'sako v'taniso, Yaakov similarly. Yehuda hayasuk lokach lo isha, Yehuda is busy looking for a wife. And what is the grand puppeteer doing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu ya'aseg bori oro shel melech ha-mashiach. Let's jump in sort of quantum leap to these parshios that we are in the throes of. Yaakov Avinu is deathly frightened of leaving Eretz Yisrael. Hashem appears to him in a dream. Anochi eiredim cha mitzrayma v'anochi alcha gam alo. And the Rabban beautifully develops the concept of yurida l'tzorech aliyah. And as Chazal comments, Roi hoye Yaakov Avinu leiru the mitzrayim mishal shalo shel barzel u'mikolorin. Yaakov really should have been led down to Egypt in chains. Instead, he traveled down to Egypt in style, in aristocratic fashion, accompanied by the Agolos, sent by Yosef, sent by Paro. Of course, we're astounded by the sinas achim, the unnatural, almost irrational hatred of the brothers, the kin of the brothers, vayikanu oso, vayisnu oso. All the elements of shadowy mystery are working over time. a massive worldwide famine and drought, all designed to bring Achi Yosef down to Mitzrayim to be followed ultimately by Yaakov and family. Why didn't Hashem Yisbarach intervene and prevent or perhaps inhibit the family internecine quarrel? Why would Yaakov send Yosef to a Mokum Sakona on a dangerous mission to his brothers, fully aware of their hostility? Why would Yaakov overtly show favoritism to Yosef, engendering and precipitating all the Talmudic pilpul of Rodef and Adam Zomerman and other similar methodologies? The Malbim, in his ingenious commentary on the Torah, has already noted all of these conundrums. Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim acculturates, Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim assimilates. It's almost well nigh impossible to expect a small group of people, despite the geometric growth and quantum leaps in population, as the Torah describes in the beginning of Shmos. Uvnei Yisrael paru vayishritzu vayirbu vayatzmu bimod maod vatimalei haaretz olsam. 210 years. There's no way that one cannot possibly absorb osmotically the alien culture. V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. The consequences, as Chazal say, were dire. Shevet Levi, however, retains its pristine purity. Kishomeru imrasecha uverisecha yinsoru. They're exempt from the avodas parach of Mitzrayim. They weren't thrust into the vortex, into the whirlpool of Aymarus chayim b'avodah kasha. They didn't receive a nachla in Eretz Yisrael either, because that nachla was inextricably and indissolubly bound up with the mysterious shtar chov that Rashi quotes in Chumash and Bereishis. V'lo yachla eretz migureyem l'asei salsam b'nei mikneyem. And as a consequence, lo mi'uktach v'lo mi'duvshach. Neither the sting nor the honey. Shevet Levi has no chelek in Eretz Yisrael, which is a function of the enslavement in Egypt. They're not part of the V'hoya kasher yanu oso ken yirbe v'chen yifrotz. That bracha is not chal on Shevet Levi, says the Ramban. And the poverty and the paucity in terms of numbers, poverty in numbers and paucity in numbers of this Shevet is wondrous. And the Beis HaLevi adds, to not exhaust the coffers of Knesset Yisrael in its support of Shevet Levi. All the above minutiae is nothing short of being spectacular. All divinely directed and spearheaded with a divine hashkacha that's largely hidden from human eyes. Moshe Rabbeinu grows up and is reared in the palatial royalty of Paro, and that came about because of the gzeira of Paro, ironically. That harsh, draconian kind of decree had catastrophic consequences, but that brought the bassinet of Moshe Rabbeinu to the Nile, where the daughters of Paro and her entourage just happened to alight. All the aforementioned, in retrospect, just precipitated a reaction of any sentient mamin. When we look at all this, our reaction is, Yoshe Bashamayim Yishok, Hashem Yilag Lomo. It's almost uncanny. An entire autocratic establishment of demagoguery, searching for the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, looking for that child that ultimately will be the Manig Yisrael, all over a heavily populated Egypt, when he's right under their thumb, in the environs of the palace, in regal aristocratic finery, in order to provide him, says the Ibn Ezra, with the trappings of Genunia Malchus, of leadership, giving him the qualities enabling him to become the Manig Yisrael. Marabu Ma'asecha Hashem, Kulam B'chachma Asisa. How marvelous and mind-boggling is the Hashkach of Hashem Yisbarach. Providential beyond providential. Harbe Shluchim Labakom. Ribbono Shel has so many emissaries. The Yesod of the Beis HaLevi, which I often repeat, I heard so many times from Moran Harav Soloveitchik Zatzal, the beginning of Parshas Miketz, Vayi Miketz Nasayim Yomim Ufaro Cholein, and it would seem that the pshat, at least at the surface level, is quite straightforward. Paro has a dream. He's perturbed, has no way to interpret the dream, calls in all the dreamologists and necromancers. They're unsuccessful in their attempt to interpret the dream. Yosef comes to his attention, interprets the dream to his satisfaction, and suddenly becomes the viceroy, the Mishnah of Melech Mitzrayim. Said the Beis Halevi, this is a completely distorted and totally incorrect perspective on the matter. And he quotes a Medrash. Medrash quotes a pasuk in Iyov. Kate som lachoshech ulachol tachlis uchoker. Comments the Medrash, the time had come for Yosef to be freed from incarceration. And as a result, Paro has a dream. And those, that which we think is the cause is the effect. And that which you think is the effect is the cause. Or as my Rabbi used to say, as Rav Soloveitchik said in his illustrious Yiddish, Geschichte ibigadait afen kop. The opposite of what one would think. And the Beis Halevi goes further. Beis Halevi says it's clear that the entire cause of everything was Yosef. Suddenly Paro becomes a dreamer. Miketz, which represents in Tanakh the end of an epoch, the end of an era, the end of a zeitgeist. Dafka occurs because Yosef had to spend 2 more years and synchronize down to the last second. The moment that period of time is over, Yosef is now free and Yosef has to be catapulted to royalty. Again, what is the cause and what is the effect? Often difficult to see. The Beis Halevi even interprets Psukim in Chumash in the most wondrous way. All of us tend to think there's a mitzvah to eat matzah on Pesach night, which there is, a mitzvah in our Torah. Ba'erev tochlu matzos, says the Beis Halevi, why? We know what the Baal HaGadol tells us. Matzos u'shon ochel mashum mo, al shum shol hispik b'tzeikam shal osein l'achmitz, at shenig l'aleem melch malchi amlochem ha'kadosh baruch hu ga'olam, shenema v'ayofu es ha'botzeg, asher otzim mitzrayim, Ugos matzos ki lo chavez, ki gorshu mitzrayim, v'layachlis mameh, v'gam tzeidu lo asulem. That's what we think. But that's totally incorrect, says the Beis Halevi. What is the correct shot? Hashem, in effect, wanted to give us the mitzvah of matzah. And therefore, as a result of that, Hashem decided to go ahead and precipitate and create a scenario of shibud mitzrayim, of gulas mitzrayim, all in order that we should have the mitzvah of matzah. What is the cause? Ba'erev tochlu matzos. What is the result? The entire saga of Yosef and his brothers. How does he know that? A pasuk in Chumash. Ba'avur zeh. Of course, the Mechilta writes, Ba'avur zeh lo amati, el b'shor shematzah umar melach melfanecha. Ba'avur zeh, because of the matzah, osa Hashem li, b'tzeisim in Mitzrayim. The entire Yetzias Mitzrayim is because of matzah. Wow, what a pshat. The Beis Halevi relies on a Rashi that occurs earlier. Rashi tells us, many years earlier, the Malachim come to Sodom, and in Sodom, Lot, of course, is Machnes Oreach, as he had absorbed from his mentor, Avram Avinu, U'matzos ofa v'yochelu. Comments Rashi, why are they eating matzah? Pesach haya, asked the Beis Halevi, Pesach? I thought Pesach was connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim? The answer is no, Pesach is connected to matzah. That is the cause. Yetzias Mitzrayim occurred only because Hashem wanted to give us the mitzvah of matzah. What an astounding interpretation of Sukkim Mechumish, excuse me, and events. So we're about now to embark on this evening's theme. Well, this was a bit of background. And the theme, of course, is the theme of Hakaras HaTov. We'll draw upon a litany of scenarios that are well known to you. I'm not saying any chidushim whatsoever. All underscoring elementary, fundamental cornerstone, the watershed of our Ashkafa, according to the Chavis HaLovas. Vayokam melech chadash al mitzvayim, mashe lo yodas Yosef, the well-known machlokas Rabbi Shmuel, chadash mamish, nischad shuk zeresov. Yosef, of course, in a feat of economic genius, had masterminded the salvation of the Egyptian economy, single-handedly created a structure. The entire nation of Egypt was saved due to his economic brilliance. Every crisis was met by Yosef, excuse me, with a clear and direct solution. How could they deny the existence of Yosef? So Rashi comments, Osa atzmo ki'il lo yoda. He pretended he did not know Yosef. But there's a striking medrash that delineates this Rashi. There's a dialogue that takes place between Paro and his nation. Rabbanan Amri, Lama kru melech chadash. Why does the Torah call him a melech chadash? Valo Paro atzmo hoya. It was the same old Pharaoh. Eloshomra mitzil the Pharaoh. The Egyptian said to Paro, Bovin is davig lumazu. Let's join this nation. Let's try to coalesce. Let's try to create some sort of merger and partnership. Amalam, shaitim atem. Are you crazy? Al Akshom Mishavahem on the Wachlin. Vechnis Daviglaim. We are essentially subservient to them. How suddenly are we going to turn the tables? Ilule Yosef, Vayinu Chayim. Now for Yosef, we wouldn't be alive. Kevin Shalosh Shamalan, he didn't listen to them. So what do people do when their politicians don't listen? Haridu Mikiso Shol Shel Chadashim. He was deposed from that position for a period of 3 months. At Shama Lahem, politicians, as they call it here in Eretz Yisrael, Kisologia. You got to hold on to that throne. So what happened? He folded. Kol Mashatim Rotim, Areni Yimachim. I'm with you 1,000%. Veshiva also. And that's what the Torah says. It was the same old Pharaoh, but the Egyptians indicated that if you're not going to join with us, clearly you will not be there. And so, of course, he joined with them, a classic politician. Opportunism writ large. The Medrash indicates to us that even Paro recognized and acknowledged the idea of Hakaras HaTov. V'haraya, he was deposed for 3 months. The Egyptians, however, realized that a recognition of Hakaras HaTov would not permit them to enslave Am Yisrael and put us in bondage. It would negate the basic principle of Menschlichkeit. So they threatened Paro, intimidated him, deposed him. After 3 months, he agreed, I have to forget about Hakaras HaTov in order to regain my own sense of covenant Malchus. The Medrash tells us this quality of Hakaras HaTov is the essential ingredient for joining Klal Yisrael and the cornerstone of our Emunah. We know from the Psukim Chumash where the Torah describes in Sefer Dvarim, Lo Yavar Amoni Mo'avi Bikal Hashem, Gam Dor Asiri, Lo Yavar Lahem Bikal Hashem Ad Olam. Why? The Torah itself provides the rationale. Alvar Asher Lo Kidmu Eschem Alechem Vamayim Baderach Bitzeisechem Mimitzrayim. They lack the basic decency to provide you with bread and water when you left Egypt. Ammon and Moab, who were born from the union of Lot and his daughters, who somehow emerged from the loins of Avram Avinu and traced themselves back to his mishpacha, can never enter the Kal Hashem because they're lacking in this elementary, fundamental Menschlichkeit concept of Hakaras HaTov. On the other hand, we're told, Lo sisayiv mitzri, ki gero yisav ha'arzo. Bonim asher yivaldu lehem dor shlishi, yavo lehem b'kal Hashem. Don't despise the Egyptians, because you were a ger in his land. Despite the, not exactly, royal treatment that we received from them, I would rather call it maltreatment. They threw our children into the Nile. They used Jewish blood for their mortar. They still provided us with achsanya, as Rashi comments, for 210 years, and we're bound to be makatov to them. Therefore, after the third generation, they're permitted to enter the Kal Hashem. Even the Paro of old was willing, albeit for only 3 months, to lose his kingship because he recognized the fundamental importance of being grateful to others. One can, of course, ask, why is it so dreadful if one is not makatov? Many people are not makatov. The answer can be seen in Paro. First, he did not know Yosef. Asher lo yoda es Yosef. A bit later, what does the Torah tell us? That Paro tells Moshe Rabbeinu, when he comes with his calling card, Mi Hashem asher eshma b'kolo l'shalach es Yisrael. Lo yodati es Hashem, v'gam es Yisrael, lo ha-shaleach. He denied the existence of Hashem. First, one is not thankful to a friend for what the friend has done for me. And from then, one can easily deny the chesed and even existence of the Bari Olam, Rachman al-Litzlan. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal often quoted the Tesefta. The Tesefta comments on the Pasuk at the end of Parshas Vayikra. Umalo mal bashem. Introducing all the Korbanos Osham, and in the context of Hashem Mi'ilos, B'chichesh ba'amiso b'bikodon or gozal asamiso. The Tesefta was troubled. Why does the Pasuk begin Umalo mal bashem? If we're talking about an infraction, Be'nan mechavero. All the litany of items mentioned there are between man and man. V'chichesh ba'amiso b'bikodom. O gozal asamiso. O matzah abeda v'chichesh ba'am. V'nishba al shoker. V'chulu v'chulu. The answer is, says the Tosefta, that one does not come to Me'ilah Hashem unless first one maltreats and mistreats one's friend. If one does not conduct himself properly b'nan mechavero, it will lead to chas v'shalom being a moel mal bashem. And that's exactly what the Medrash comments here in Shmos Rabbah as well. Asher lo yoda es Yosef, v'chi lo haya makir es Yosef, omer avobin, Mashal Echad Sheragam O Avo Shemelach, someone who stoned the friend, the confidant of the king, Amar Hamelach, Hatizu Es Rosho, offered his head. Kila Machar Yaseh Li Kach. Tomorrow he'll do the same to me. The Kach Kosov Alav Hamikwa Klomar, Hayom Asher, Lo Yodas Yosef Lamachar, Osi Lomar Lo Yodati Es Hashem. In the coming week's Parsha of Vayera, that we read, the Torah tells us that Aaron was told to perform the Makkah of Dam Minat, Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Medrash answers famously, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hamayim Sheshamrucha, Shehushlachta, Layor, Eino Din Sheyiloko Al Yodecha. The water that guarded you, when you were thrown into the Nile, it's not proper, Moshe Rabbeinu, for it to be punished by you. Chayecha, Lo Yiloko Al Yidei Aaron. And strikingly enough, this idea of Akaras HaTov is such a Yesod Godol that we see it throughout these parashiyos again and again. The Torah tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu, Bayi Bayam Maim, in Perek Beis of Shmos, Tukim Yud Aleph to Yud Dalet. Bayi Dal Moshe, Bayi Seh Elechov, Bayar Bisiv Losom, Bayar Ish Mitzri, Makeh Ishi Rimechov, Bayi Fen Kovachov, Bayar Kien Ish, Vayach Es HaMitzri, Vayit Meneo Bachol. The next day, of course, he sees two Jews fighting. And right away, he reacts, how did that Russia know that the Egyptian was killed? Moshe Rabbeinu looked around and saw Kiyanish. The answer is that Russia was that same Jew that Moshe saved from the Mitzri. He was present, B'shas Maisa. He was there. And he saw how Moshe killed the Mitzri. Moshe saves him. What is his response? He has the audacity to tell Moshe Rabbeinu a day after, Mi somcho le'isav v'shofet aleinu. Instead of demonstrating minimalistic hakaras hatov, instead, what does he do? He points the finger at Moshe Rabbeinu, Halo hageini ata omer, kasher arakte es ha-mitzri. So again, the idea of hakaras hatov. And even a bit later, Rabbeinu Bechaye and many Rishonim actually quote a Medrash Chazal in the context of the daughters of Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu was compelled to flee. Now Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the Be'er and saves the daughters of Israel, and they come back early than usual. And the father asks, Lama mihartem bo ayom? And the response is, Ish mitzri hitzilonu miyad aroin. The simple pshat that Moshe appeared to be an Egyptian. He was raised in an Egyptian palace. He had all the trappings of an Egyptian. But Rishonim cited Medrash, Rabbeinu Bechaye cites the Medrash very clearly. Ish mitzri hitzilonu dosh rabosenu zal, v'chi Moshe bidmus mitzri oya. Was Moshe Rabbeinu an Egyptian? Ela ilule ish mitzri shaharag, hechi konis l'midyon. Moshe Rabbeinu came to Midian as a result of that event, of that episode, of that scenario, that he saw Ish Mitzri Make Ish Ivri Me'echov. So even though he was engaged in egregious behavior, Bechalzo, as a result of that, and what happened the next day, Moshe is compelled to flee to Midian, and now Hakara Shatov goes to whom? Dafka? To that Ish Mitzri. Ish Mitzri Hitzilonu Miyad Aroim. But the Torah continues in the context of the daughters of Yisro, the father-in-law, namely the father of the daughters of Yisro, Vayar Chose Moshe is kol asher hu osel ha'am, Vayomer mo adover hazeh asher ata osel ha'badecha, matu ato yoshev ha'badecha, Navol tibo. In the context of setting up a system of justice, you're going to become, it will be impossible, you're going to be overwhelmed, you'll nowhere that's going to be anywhere possible. Fascinating language, Navol Tibol, that the Torah uses. A similar language is used by the Torah in Parshas Haazinu a number of times. The Torah speaks of Am Navol V'lo Chacham. The way the Targum translates, Am of the Kabila D'Araisa, a nation that received the Torah and is not Makir Tov. And Yisrael actually is the source for this concept of Hakaras HaTov. How do we know? Because in the context of the daughters of Yisrael that we referred to earlier, we know that he asks his daughters, what happened? How did you come home so early? And they answer, Ish Mitzri, Hitzilanu miyad haroim. Begam dalo dalo lanu vayashke satzo. Vayom el ben oso ve'ayo. Where is he? Lama ze azat tenete ish. Kira no miyochad ochem. Where's your Hakaras HaTov? Where's your fundamental gratitude? Why didn't you invite him to our home for a meal? Ve'ayo. The Makor for Hakaras HaTov, Yisrael. And in Chazal, you see in Mefarshim, that may very well be the reason why he was Zoche to become the Shver of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu married Tzipora, the daughter of Yisrael, and unquestionably, a lot has to do with that element of Hakaras HaTov. So Hakaras HaTov is the Yesod Godol in our Emunah. And Chazal tell us many times, Kol HaKofer Mitov Vasel Shechavero, Sof Kofer Mitov Vasel Shehakadosh Baruch Hu, as we mentioned in the context of Paro. And Chazal tell us we have to be Makir Tov literally for every single beneficence that's offered to us. O Reach Tov Mahu Omer, the Gemara says in Brachis. What does a good guest say? Kama tirchos tarach balabais mishvili. Look at all the expenditure of energy that the balabais did on my behalf. Kama basar hevi lefanai, different types of meat. Kama yayin hevi lefanai, different types of wine. Kama gluskos, different types of rogalach. V'chol ma shetarach latarach ala mishvili. Whatever he did it for me. But orech ra, what does he say? Ma torach tarach balabais. What did he do? Pasach hasachalti. A piece of stale bread, two-day-old bread, meat that was not prepared properly, such an ingrate, such a lack of Hakaras HaTov. Hakaras HaTov, Yisaydi Hadas, from the fundamental principles of our faith. The entire Shibud Mitzrayim began with Kfiyas Tova. Began with an act of someone being an ingrate. And therefore, that has to be completely and totally. We have to sever that kind of midah from our entire persona. This obligation of Hakaras HaTov is an obligation that applies even in circumstances which are not necessarily ideal. Even if someone is going to be tormented as a result of that, there's still an obligation, there's still a chiyuv of Hakaras HaTov. It's very, very fascinating that Chazal, in a number of places, address this issue. And there are many, many stories that are told, and one which is very powerful, which I'm always very fond of. And this story is told about one of the most famous of the Gdolei Yisrael, Hagoyin Rav Kook Zatzal. Rav Kook Zatzal, when he was a Rav in Europe, before moving to Eretz Yisrael, used to spend time in the summers on the Baltic Sea coast in Latvia. That was the custom of many European Rabbonim. It was very well known. There was a hole there where they made minyanim. It happened to be that one of the Gdolei Yerushalayim, Hagoyin Rabuven Benges Zatzal, happened to be there one evening. He had yahrzeit. There were only 9 people in the hall. So one of the people in the hall went outside looking for a tenth, for a tzenter, for a tenth Jew for the minyan for Rabuven's yahrzeit. Meanwhile, there was outside a certain fellow who was also trying to form a minyan. He had an exact minyan. The person from the hall didn't realize this and pulled one person from the outside group into the hall for the inside minyan. Although it was all done unintentionally, shelo b'kavana, the person who organized the minyan outside stormed into the hall and started yelling at Rav Benges Zatzal, and he heaped all kinds of insults upon him. Rav Kook Zatzal, who was well known for his unbelievable Avas Yisrael for every Jew, went over to the person who was berating Rav Benges and slapped him across the face for embarrassing a Talmid Chacham. The slapped person got so angry at Rav Kook, he decided to take him to the Arkos, to the secular court, because he assaulted him. There's a whole commotion developed. A number of people asked Rav Kook, could he please apologize so the matter would not go any further? And Rav Kook refused, adamantly. He said, if it was just for my kavod, I would apologize. But kavod atela of Rav Benges is involved, and there's no way that I could apologize. I'm not sorry I slapped him. I had to stand up for the kavod of a Talmid Chacham. I had to be moche. Let him take me to court. A few days passed, and the fellow had a change of heart. He came to Rav Kook. He apologized. He told me, I'm not going to take you to court. And seemingly, That was the end of the story. Years later, Rav Kook came to America and was approached by the same person whom he had slapped earlier in the Latvian seacoast town. He told Rav Kook, I owe you a tremendous debt of gratitude. I owe you a tremendous hakaras hatov. And he took out a gold watch and gave it to Rav Kook. He told Rav Kook that after he had been slapped, his life became miserable in Europe. As a result of that rather tumultuous incident, he became notoriously known. This was now his reputation. The Jew who screamed at Rav Benges and the Jew who was slapped by Rav Kook. What a covet. What a double covet he was zeicher to. He had no choice but to leave Europe and go to America. No one knew him, not a soul. And in America, as is the wont, sometimes, rarely, but it can happen, he became a multimillionaire. So he felt all of his good fortune was due to the patchin ponim that he got from Rav Kook Zatzal. And he wanted to show him hakaras hatov. So sometimes we should feel gratitude even for a slap in the face. And this we see from great tzaddikim and great Gdol Yisrael who recognized this yesod, that even for my tormentors, one is obligated to have hakaras hatov. Even someone perhaps who was not treating me in the best of ways. There's a letter of Agoin Rabbi Akiva Eiger, very fascinating letter. It's a beautiful sefer, has a collection of his letters. And he has a very intriguing comment, which is based on a pasuk in Tehillim, in Perek Nun, well-known pasuk, a discussion that the Gemara has in Sanhedrin. Zeveach toido yechadonini, v'som derech arenu b'yesha alokim. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Zeveach toido yechadonini, someone who is the recipient of a chesed, someone who was able to be the recipient of someone's beneficence, of someone's beautiful kindness, and he's makir. He recognizes and acknowledges that beneficence, and he thanks the individual for doing it. So what will that lead to? That will lead to that he'll be subject to be the recipient of many, many more situations of hatova. Hashem will continue to heap hatova upon him. But if he doesn't demonstrate hakaras hatov, namely, only if zoveach toda, he's ready to be makir the carbon toda, then yechabdonini. Of course, it's a drash. It's not the pshut lashon mikra, but a beautiful drash. V'som derech, Hashem is baruch, will in effect pave the way that will be zoche to ongoing yesh elokim, the yeshuos of Hashem is baruch. This yesod of hakaras hatov, as I said, is the yesod of our emunah. It's an obligation, and ultimately, we're obligated to have hakaras hatov to our parents, to our siblings, to our spouse, anyone who provides us with any kind of beneficence. And kal v'chomer ben menosho kal v'chomer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to Hashem Yisbarach, b'chvodo v'atzmo. So at the end, kol man di'avar rachmana, the tov avad, when a person is a recipient of Hatova, that's also ordained by Hashem Yisbarach. He's aware of it. Of course, we have Bechira. And at the same time, we have to be Makir Tov. Even though Rabos Machshavos B'levish Ratzas Hashem Yisokum, we have to do our mandate. And those who are Mischaseid are Shluchim of Hashem Yisbarach, who are obligated to thank the Shliach. My father, Rav Shalom, was very makbid in the 5 or 6 times a year that Bichas Kodin took place in Chutzar. So among the 1,000 reasons I made Aliyah, this was among the top. On a daily basis, one can be zochet to Bechas Kohen. Of course, I could, if I would like, every day run to Deal, New Jersey, or to Great Neck, or who knows, all the Sephardic Emporiums, and perhaps get Bechas Kohen, but it was a bit inconvenient for me. Several hours. And I wasn't sure that I was obligated to do so. Of course, there's no suffix. I was not obligated to do so. But whatever the case is, my father was makbid to give Yashikach to Kohenim. The Mishnah Berurah mentions it. Yasher, says the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Bechas Kohenim. I happen to have the great schluss of having a Kohen Chabura every single year in my yeshiva. And so I've learned Hilchot Bichas Kohen many, many times, multiple times. Mishnah Berurah mentions, he tells us that don't give a yashikach to the Kohen in the middle of Kaddish. The Kohen should remain there at the Duchen, and then after Kaddish is over, then you should give them yasher, yashikach. What's the mocker for this yashikach? I heard many different explanations in the course of years. I once asked Hagoyin, Rav Gedalia Felder, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in Toronto, Canada. Approximately 30 years ago, I asked him this shiloh, what's the mocker for saying yashikach? right away on the spot refers me to a Rambam in Hilchos Tefila. The Rambam talks about a Kohen who's Maso Matono is not so ay. He's not such an honest fellow. He's not someone whose ethics, whose morality leaves a lot to be desired. So the Rambam asks, Al titmal birchas kohen het yodzeh? How can this kohen give me a bracha? And the Gemara is using that in Baba Kama, in Perek HaChevel, in the context of Svicha, that the Gemara derives from Sukkim and Pinchas, with Rebbe Yoshua ben Nun, by Yismael Chesyado Olav. So the Gemara says that, how do you know that Chamro Lamara v'tibus l'shakya? How do you know that wine belongs to the Balabayas, but a Yashekach goes to the waiter? But they call in Eretz Yisrael, the very well-known Hebrew word, tip. Tzichim latet lo tip. You have to give him gratuity. You have to give him some sort of a tip. So the Gemara says, how do we know that? The Gemara derives it from those sukkim in the context of the smicha given by Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua bin Nun. So Felder told me the Rambam, in effect, is asking this question and answering it. The Rambam says, what exactly is the function of the Kohen? The Kohen is but a tzaneret. He's a pipeline. He's a sluice, if you will. A kind of conveyor belt. He's conveying the bracha. But who is the Baal HaBracha? The Pasuk said, the son which Shmiah B'nei Yisrael V'ani HaBarachim. The Bani Shalom is the Baal HaBracha, the grand puppeteer, Bichloi the Ratzmo, and the Kohen is the quote unquote the Shaliach. Ani Kani Shluchad Rachman or Shluchad Idan. He's but a Shliach who's carrying out the Shlichus of Hashem is Barach. And therefore, what do? Just as you give a tip to the waiter, so you give a tip to the Kohen. What is the tip given to the Kohen? Ayashikoyach, Hakar Satov. Fundamental, basic, wonderful Midah. And therefore, this is the midah that all of us should recognize. This is the midah which is really, one could even say, based on the Gemara in Seita and Afidalid, the Gemara comments, Mahu Afato. Mahu Mevake Chelim, Afato Tevake Chelim. Mahu Menachem Avelim, Afato Tevake Avelim. Imitati Odei, as it's known. Asolvechi used to add, Mahu Mechade Shalomos, Afato Techade Shalomos. Hashem is creative, you should also be creative. But I would add now, in light of Hakar Satov, Mahu Makitov, Afato Takitov. Where do you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Makitov? Where do you find such a notion that this is part of Imitati Odei? And the answer, of course, is that one could look in a pasuk in Tanakh, well known to all of us. Klal Yisrael, Anger Hashem Yisbarach, Egel, Meraglim, this Avodah Zarah, that Avodah Zarah, the whole Sefer Shoftim is devoted to the back and forth on this matter. From the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim till the days of Yirmiyahu. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyahu in the well-known psukim, Holoich v'karosa ba'ozne Yerushalayim le'mar. Ko yamar Hashem, zocharti lo chesenu rayich, avas glulo soyich, lechteich achray ba'midbar, be'eretz lo zrua. Hundreds and hundreds of years ago, Hashem Yisbarach tells Klal Yisrael, you did a tremendous chesed for me. You were mekadishim shamayim. You were mamin. You believed in me. And you went out to the midbar without taking seidel aderech. I remember that chesed ad hayom hazeh. Despite all your chatoyim, despite all your transgressions, ayim makitov. And therefore, if this midah is one of the midahs of Hashem Yisbarach, mahu afato, mahu makitov, Af atem chayavim l'hakir tov. This is part of Imitati Odei. So halavai, we should work and cultivate this particular midah. We should nurture this midah. Chazal have a comment. Mishu posech pischo l'chavero, nafsho chayav lo. So there's a very striking Rashi and a Medrash Chazal that in the context again of Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to his shver before he decides to carry out the manhigos of going down to Mitzrayim. So Chazal say, why? Because Yisrael opened up his door for him. Moshe Rabbeinu is chayav to number one asking permission. Hakar Satov demanded that. Mishu posech pischo l'chavero, nafsho chayavo. I was zeich as a youngster to grow up in the Bronx, New York. From what I understand, it's now undergoing a trias amesim, a revival. That's what I was told. That there's nowhere to live in New York. So now people are moving to the Bronx, to the area where I once was zochet to be, and then it had a yerida, and apparently it was a yerida l'tzorech aliyah, based on the Ramban of Ayigash. So once again, the Bronx seems to be coming to the fore. So one of the outstanding Talmidei Chachamim I grew up with was Agoyim Rav Gershon Yakolovitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He was nifter a number of years ago, and he was a prominent Rosh Yeshiva and an outstanding, such a sweet, wonderful person who was zoicha to learn the Mir Yeshiva in Shanghai for a while. And so the story is told about him the following, that he actually was a very strong person. I can tell you a lot of things about him, but in a public kind of scene, a venue, I'm obviously somewhat limited in terms of what I can describe about his persona and his capabilities and his capacity. He was a very strong person, physically a very strong person. Apparently, when the Mir Yeshiva was on its way, they were escaping the Mir Yeshiva in Europe and going elsewhere on the way to Shanghai eventually. And there was a train that they had to catch, and there were a few mirrors that were unfortunately lagging behind. And the train began to move ahead, and the trains then, of course, were very heavy, very cumbersome, and moving in a very slow, but eventually they pick up speed along the way. And then there were these two mirrors, two rather astounding mirrors, two massive Talmidei Chacham that were running after the train. And HaGaon of Gershon Yaakov Avin Zatzal saw what was happening. He opened up the doors of the train physically on his own, and he told the other mirrors on the train that they should hold those doors open. He's going to get them. He jumped off the train, ran to get those two mirrors, apparently picked them up with their pekalach, took them on the train, and saved their lives. For years and years, when they would meet him, they would be makitov to him. Why? Because of this chazal. Mishu posea pischo l'chaveiro nafsho chayev lo. Literally, he opened the door for them. That hakar satov, someone does me even a minor tov, opens up the door to help me, I'm carrying packages. That's enough. That I'm a chuy to yimeis nefesh in order to pay him back, recompense for that hatova. Of course, you're not going to be yimeis nefesh, only for three cardinal sins that you're a chuy to yimeis nefesh. Well, because of the hargosha that one should have, the chesed that he did for me is something which is mechayimi l'deire deris. Rebbeinu shel olam, is goymel, and we are his shutfin. And therefore, the obligation of Hakaras HaTov is L'Doyre Doyres, L'Netzach Netzachim. Halavai, we should nurture and cultivate this midah to our families, to our Rabbeim, to the Meisteis HaTorah that we learned in, that we were zochet to learn from. That Hakaras HaTov is the most fundamental of all midahs, says the Chavis HaVavis. And if we cultivate this midah, we can be assured that the Ribbono Shel Olam will see this and will continue, as the Rabbi Akiva Eger says, to be goyimel to us kol ha'teves. We should be zeicher be'ezah Hashem Yisbarach b'karov an end to this pandemic, and b'karov we should see b'saros tovos Yeshua's for the Hamas.
Amen. Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Shikach to all of you. Be safe and be well.
Amen. Shikach.